All right, we have no time to waste, so let me just set the stakes. This Friday, Donald Trump is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska. He announced this randomly over Truth Social, and this caught the world by surprise because Trump and Putin intentionally locked out European leaders, especially Ukrainian leaders, and now it's just these two parties, parties who really don't have any stake in the future of Ukraine, deciding what the future of Ukraine looks like. After this happened, world leaders, or leaders across Europe at least, released a joint statement. You see a statement by President Macron of France, Prime Minister Meloni, Chancellor Maris, Prime Minister Tusk, Prime Minister Starmer. They all came out and they rebuked Trump. They said, "Dude, we appreciate what you're trying to do." They always have to use the diplomatic language. But then they said, "Ukraine needs to be a part of these talks." Honestly, I wish European leaders would stand up in a little bit more of a strong manner. I wish European leaders would, well, lead and not just defer to the frameworks that Trump's creating and try to make things work within those frameworks. I wish they would be like, "F you, Trump. If you want to work with us, you can. If you want to play by our rules, you can, but these are the frameworks that we're working within." There was this great video by Vlad Vexler where he was like, "Yo, European leaders are oftentimes deferring to things that Trump tries to do. No, don't play by his rules. Just stand up and create your own." Same with Democrats within America. That's what we're trying to do on this channel. We're going to push back against the lies, and we're going to make sure we're putting our own forward-looking vision of the future out there. Make sure you subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed, and let's just start here. Let me just lay the groundwork. Everyone was shocked by this meeting in Alaska being announced at all, but then people were more shocked when they realized Putin had manipulated Donald Trump into blocking Zelensky from being a part of the meeting. This is sickening. It's like making a decision about what type of reparations Black Americans get, but then you find out that Black Americans aren't even a part of the conversation. Why would you not include Zelensky or any Ukrainian officials? And then Pekka points out, if Zelensky is invited to Alaska, Putin will not participate. That is the condition that Putin set. He said, "I will not participate in any peace deals or any negotiations if Zelensky's there." The Kremlin's main narrative is that Ukraine's government is illegitimate, and meeting with Zelensky would undermine that narrative. What Trump is doing in this meeting, and this is what they point out in this joint statement, what Trump is doing is making a triple concession. A triple concession. And here's how. What Trump is doing is he's meeting with Putin. First of all, in Alaska, we'll talk about that later. He's meeting with Putin, and the concession is that Zelensky doesn't have to be there. We don't have to legitimize Zelensky. But then, he's also thinking about conceding some land to Russia, and that land concession is hoping to get Russia to then start the ceasefire negotiations. So, here's Trump's grand plan. In order to even get Putin to maybe talk about negotiations, he has to cede land and do a meeting without Zelensky, and then maybe Putin gets legitimized enough to start. It's like, it's a triple concession right there. You are conceding three things. This is something that I had to learn the hard way as I grew my channel and talked to certain people in the industry. I was like, okay, you can't make concessions on the phone. You can't make concessions at all. You can't make double or triple concessions. It seems like Trump hasn't learned this over his 80 years of doing business, apparently. What has he been doing over these past 80 years? Okay, to continue on, let's just go to the actual joint statement from the leaders on peace for Ukraine. Here's the annoying part. They start off with, "We welcome President Trump's work to stop the killing in Ukraine." I mean, of course, they're going to use diplomatic language. What else are you going to do? You don't want to piss Trump off right before he goes and meets with Putin. It's the sad reality, but Trump is an egotistical, narcissistic lunatic. But at least European leaders can put forth their own framework, in my opinion. They then say, "We are convinced that only an approach that combines active diplomacy, support to Ukraine, and pressure on the Russian Federation can end this war." Now, here's where they begin to rebuke the framework that Trump is approaching this with. They say, "We agree that these vital interests include the need for robust and credible security guarantees that enable Ukraine to effectively defend its sovereignty. Ukraine has the freedom of choice over its own destiny. Meaningful negotiations can only take place in the context of a ceasefire or reduction of hostilities. The path to peace in Ukraine cannot be decided without Ukraine." They reframe the peace process to make Ukraine essential to the process, and they also don't make the concession of a land swap or anything like that until lives stop being lost. You only begin the talks after lives stop being lost. It says, we remain committed to the principle that international borders must not be changed by force. The current line of contact should be the starting point of negotiations. That's a beautiful way to put it. That's a beautiful way to put it. And it goes back to my concession point. Putin is asking, and Trump is asking Ukraine to make concessions before negotiations even start. Putin's like, if you want to even start negotiations, you have to change borders. So the preconditions that Putin's setting are just a win for him. That's why this entire meeting is a win. As Preston Stewart points out, shout out to him, a great analyst and creator. He says, some in Russia still view Alaska as rightfully theirs. Patch here worn by a Russian soldier fighting in Ukraine. And as you can see, the patch has Alaska with Russia. A lot of people in Russia have billboards or signs. They have a lot of ads showing Alaska as a part of Russia. Which brings me on to one more point that I want to make. Donald Trump is being conned with this full thing. Like, how do you agree to meet Vladimir Putin in a place that Russia sold to the United States? Which is fine. It's ours now. I love the state of Alaska. But Putin is meeting you there to try to sell you his new land grab idea by harping on his 100-year-old land sell that someone else made. By the way, those are the types of games that Russia plays. Russia plays manipulative mind games, and Putin's trained as KGB. Trump is trained as, I don't even know, a dumb salesman who just shakes her hand too hard. I saw this theory one time that Trump probably took some sales classes in the 70s or 80s, and like these businessman classes said that tariffs are hurting the country and that you have to shake people's hands very hard and yank it. And now every time he goes out in public, you see him yanking people's hands as some sort of weird power move. But what I've always thought is any power move like that, like shaking hands, is not a real power move and can be easily trumped by being intellectual. Like, if you put Obama and Trump in the same room, maybe Trump would get a firm handshake in, but Obama's just so much smarter, he would run laps around him. And Putin, in the same way, who I absolutely hate and is a vile human being, knows how to play these games. Like, read this. Putin gave a Trump envoy award for CIA official's son killed fighting in Ukraine. This is a game that Putin was playing. President Vladimir Putin has presented U.S. President Donald Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, an award to pass on to a senior CIA official whose son was killed fighting in Russia. What am I reading right now? Why do we have senior CIA officials whose kids are getting sent to fight with Russia on the front lines against Ukraine? Putin gave the Order of Lenin, Jesus Christ, to Steve Witkoff during his trip to Moscow this week to discuss a plan to end the Ukraine war. Michael Gloss, who is 21, was killed in Ukraine last year and was the son of Julian Galina, who is the CIA's deputy director for digital innovation. Reports of the award emerged, and it was confirmed that Trump and Putin will meet in Alaska next Friday. We also learned that Robert Kraft claims he met with Putin during the Bush era in 2005, and Putin stole his Super Bowl victory ring. According to sports news outlet, Kraft handed Putin the ring when the pair met in 2005 after the Patriots defeated the Philadelphia Eagles. However, the host said that the Russian leader had no intention of giving it back. He put it on and said, I can kill someone with this ring. Robert Kraft put his hand out and Putin put the ring in his pocket. Three KGB guys got around him and they walked out. The White House got on the phone with Robert Kraft and said, quote, it would really be in the best interest of U.S.-Soviet relations if you meant to give the ring as a present. So then Robert Kraft never really mentioned it for a few years until he came out and told this story. What an insane story. We need to be standing up to Vladimir Putin. We need to be standing up to soft authoritarians like Trump who are wannabe Putins, wannabe dictators, and that's what we do on this channel one more time. I appreciate every single one of you. Thank you all for watching these videos. We are doing a live event in Omaha, Nebraska on the 23rd, so in about 2 weeks with Senator Elizabeth Warren, Representative Maxwell Frost. RSVP, top link in the description. I love you all. I'll see you in the next video, and peace out.